Broadcasting from the wine country in California, this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, where intimate secrets and modern advice for couples is shared to elevate your relationship to live sexier, happier, and have way more fun. We believe success in life is better when mixed with excitement and love. And now, here's your kick-ass relationship coach and best-selling author, Midori Verity.
Hey, hey, everyone. Happy Wednesday. It is going to be a great show once again. But let me ask you, are you worried your teen may be too promiscuous? You're worried they're giving the wrong message to the world? And what about your relationship? Do you tense up every time your partner tries to get a little frisky? Or does he seem to be pushing you away from sex? Today's guest is an expert in everything sex, so she's going to help us solve all these issues. I'm Midori Verity, the Kick-Ass Marriage Coach and your host. Each week, I bring you guests, tips, inspiration, and fun to help energize your relationship and your life. So every show, I start off with my tip of the day, which is part of my 3 Minutes to Thrive program. And basically what it is I offer you a tool or tools that you can start implementing today. So today's tool is all about crushing frustration and anger in your relationship. If you were with us last week, we talked about the concept of the gratitude attitude. If you did not hear that, I do recommend going back and listening to last week's episode because it is the foundation to everything. It will make your day so much better and your approach to life will be happier and will seem a little bit more sunny. So today's tool builds off of that concept of the gratitude attitude. Let me tell you how it works. So, you know, like when you've been with your partner for a while and they do something that massively just pisses you off to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to wring their neck. Often if you've been with the same person for a while, you have something that is called recurring issues. And those are kind of problems or situations that keep on coming up in your relationship. In fact, it is 67% of all arguments in relationships. Every relationship has these recurring issues, and chances are you do too. And what happens is these recurring issues can really start making you a little crazy and really angry. I know this because I have experienced it in my relationship. So let me give you kind of a sample of what I mean. So my husband, I've been with him for 30 years, and his favorite thing to do is to go use my car and not bring it back with any gas. So zero gas. And it used to make me crazy to the point where I wanted to like take off my shoe and chuck it at his head every single time. And so what I developed is this way, this tool to help me stop my anger, stop my frustration, and switch it immediately. So how it works, the next time that you notice that you're really frustrated, it could be with your spouse, it could be with your boss, it could be with your kids, it can be with anyone. I want you to stop and be aware of it. And then I want you to start thinking of what you're grateful for regarding that person. So let's say it is your romantic squeeze. So I want you to come and start thinking really small, depending on how upset you are. But if you're super, super angry, start small. So think about, you know, I'm happy that he picks up his socks every single day. I'm happy that he is nice to our kids. I'm happy that he did my dishes for me last night and that he's aware of when I'm frustrated. Do you get what I'm saying, you guys? That you start small, the smallest that you can. If you can't even start with your partner because you're just so angry, start with something else. Start with an inanimate object such as your car. I'm happy that I have a car that can get me to and fro from work or from the grocery store. Start with that and you will notice almost immediately your anxiety, your tension, your frustration going down. It's a mind trick. It's reframing your thoughts in your mind. And the coolest thing about this is that as you do it more and more frequently, you will notice that you get angry and frustrated much less often, let alone not staying there. So even though you might be frustrated, that's still going to happen. That's life. You are going to be able to switch it off a lot quicker and get over it a lot faster. And the benefit of that is that then you can turn around in your relationship and be able to discuss the issue or the problem with your partner or your boss or your kids or whoever it is in a more constructive way, rather than coming from an angry, pissed off mindset. Make sense? So start small. Well, actually, the first step, recognize it, acknowledge it. Number two, start small if you need to with what you're grateful for and start building on that. Make sure that you calm down before you go and talk to your partner about whatever it is that's frustrating you. All right, you guys, make sense? Okay, well, let's move on. I can't wait to bring in my guest. So let me just tell you a little bit about her. She has actually become my friend because I adore her so much. But she is known as a technique modifier at End the Problem. Her name is Jackie Oliver, and she's considered by many to be a global expert in solving sexual dysfunctions and restoring emotional balance. In her breakthrough sex mastery programs for males and females, she provides relevant sex education answers to solve and prevent common sex problems. For sex and relationships to be easy, you've got to be real. Deal with the impeding problems so resistant emotions don't kill attraction and libido or cause sexual dysfunctions. So join me in welcoming Miss Jackie to the show. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Midori. Great to be here again.
Yeah, I always love talking with you, and you have such impactful information that everyone needs to be exposed to you. They need to know your lessons in the bedroom. And today we're actually going to be talking about our teens and also our situations in our own bedroom. But we're going to start off with teens because this is a big issue these days, wouldn't you say?
It's massive.
It's massive. It is massive. And as parents, sometimes we feel like we have, actually, let's be honest, we truly have very little control. But I do know that Jackie has some tips for us to help us gain back some of that control in kind of a ninja way to help our kids be, to present their best selves in the world and to save themselves from some of life's mistakes. So let's talk about that, Jackie. So, you know, kind of what's the deal when our teenage daughter comes down the stairs wearing way too much makeup and they constantly are wearing way too little clothes? What's going on there?
Well, teenage girls like to experiment. They like to be noticed. They like to feel connected. They like to feel like they're fitting in. They're quite often searching for an emotional feeling fix. And you touched on anger and frustration in your tip for today. And that's such a relevant thing because we are trained from small children to stop an emotional response. So right from a young age, around about 3 or 4 years of age, we are told to stop feeling angry, stop feeling frustrated, stop feeling anxious. Oh, you don't need to be afraid about that. And when this emotion is anger or resistance, we are taught to go to our room or go to the corner of the classroom and think about why you are feeling that way. And so instead of an emotional response just being a physical response that takes place in your body with the ease of a sneeze, just like the sneeze program, it becomes something that we think about. So instead of that emotion passing within seconds, we analyze that emotion. We analyze why we think we're feeling that way. We analyze every occurrence in our life that has made us feel that way. And this translates many years down the track when we become a teenager to feeling emotionally disconnected from ourselves. And when we're feeling disconnected from ourselves, we search for something external of ourselves to enable us to feel better. Now, at the end of an emotional response, so that physical sensation, it feels intense, it feels uncomfortable when that emotional response is triggered. If we allow that by switching to the physical sensations of that emotion, whatever we call that emotion to be, then the physical discomfort eases within a few seconds, just like a sneeze does. So we feel a sneeze coming on, it's like, choo, and then it's over and we think nothing more of it. And that's how easily an emotional response can pass if we allow it to. And this is really my first pillar of sex education, is teaching kids how to be emotionally balanced. Because when they're emotionally balanced, they don't have this need to prove themselves when they're a teenager.
Okay, so are we kind of talking, when you say emotionally balanced, are you kind of talking about insecurity, that we're feeling like we're not being accepted? Is that another way of thinking of it?
It can be that, but it's also that we're not accepting ourselves. When we're not accepting ourselves, we cannot feel connected with anyone else.
Okay, so we're not accepting ourselves. So one of the things that kids might do is to dress provocatively, to try to gain back some of that attention, that, and hoping that it's positive attention. Is that right?
Everyone seeks a need to feel better. Everyone has a need to feel acknowledged. Everyone has a need to feel connected, and everyone has a need to feel like they're fitting in somewhere. And when we're not fitting in with ourselves, because we are resisting that emotional response, which takes place about 40 or 50 times a day when we don't have any problems we can think of. So this is a very natural hormonal response. We just call it different names.
Got it. Okay. So fitting in is, of course, the biggest thing when you are younger, is it not? Every teenager wants to fit in, be part of the in crowd. And sometimes, unfortunately, they go about trying to fit in the wrong, unhealthy way. So what are some tips that as a parent we can do? What are some tools that parents can use to help their kids feel like they are fitting in, that they're getting that positive emotional response without having to call attention to ourselves in a negative way? Make sense?
Absolutely. So what you need to do is you need to enable them to experience emotion. See, most people, when they think about experiencing emotion, it's noisy, they're crying, they're screaming, they're being very verbal with their emotion. That's not necessary. Emotion is a feeling. It's a sensation. So what you want to do is, when your teen is upset, they're just struggling with something that's going on in their mind. They're struggling with an issue that's going on in their life. And they're trying not to feel emotional. They're trying not to feel angry. They're trying not to feel frustrated, because that's what they've been trained by the schooling system and by adults, because they haven't known better. That's what they've been trained to do. So if you're a teen, even if you're a child, it doesn't matter what age the person is, if someone is being upset with you, they're just upset. They've reached their limit of where they can store emotion within them, and it's just coming out of their ears, or, you know, see smoke coming out. But what they need to do is encourage the switch. You mentioned the switch before. So what we're doing is we're switching from the thoughts about why we think we're feeling that way. We're wanting to get them into the feeling sensation of it. So first you acknowledge them. I can see that you're upset. That's the first step. Tell me about what's going on. Okay. It won't require a big, massive story or a large amount of time, because you're going to ask some specific feeling questions. So first, acknowledge, I can see that you're upset. Secondly, tell me about what's going on. Now, when that person takes a breath, you know, they'll start explaining it. Blah, 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 this is going on and this is happening. Blah, blah, blah. And then they pause for breath. And when they pause for breath, you say to them, how did that make you feel? Now, to answer that question, they've got to switch into their subconscious mind, which contains the programs which regulate their breathing, their blood pressure, their heart rate, relax their muscles, and make them feel better. So just by switching to the sensations of it, for them to answer that question, the subconscious also contains all of the memories, all of the awarenesses. So they switch and they tell you, oh, well, I felt really angry. Oh, it's okay to feel angry. Do you still feel angry? Now they're out of the story of why they think they're feeling that way, and now they're just looking into themselves if they're still feeling angry. Angry is a sensation. Oh, yeah, actually, I am still feeling angry. And then the parent just says, that's okay. Just let yourself feel that way. Not let yourself feel angry. You don't want to encourage the thoughts about it. Just let yourself feel that way. It's okay. And then the parent either stands there or the parent walks away and gets on with their day. And that child has just been acknowledged, accepted, and encouraged to be real with who they are and how they are in that moment. And that's going to stop that emotion from causing the need for an external feeling fix. See, because at the end of that emotional response is peace. You've just led that person into an awareness of peace.
Okay, so let me try to understand this. So this is kind of more of a long-term game, and helping your child learn to accept themselves a little bit more, understand how they're feeling and acknowledge it, because boy, like you said, those hormones, all those things are coming out of them when they're teenagers, and it's very difficult to control and to understand. So you're just kind of helping them understand it and release it rather than doing it on the outside, but more on the inside, learning how to release certain emotions. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Because when you resist an emotion, like using that example, we're constantly trying not to feel a particular way. And when we resist emotion, at the end of the emotional response is the purest feeling of connection you can have with yourself. But if you resist that emotional response, you don't get that feeling of connection with yourself, which means that you need to seek something external of you to enable yourself to feel better. And that could be sex, it could be smoking, it can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be shopping, it can be chocolate, food. We have so many different external feeling fixes that we feel that we have to have because we're not fulfilling the emotional response within ourselves. So as parents, as you encourage your teen just to allow themselves to feel that way without encouraging them to go into the story about why they think they feel that way, they're actually negating all the negative reinforcement that they're receiving at school. Because when you're at school, you're not allowed to be angry. You're not allowed to be frustrated. You're not allowed to be fearful. You can't be anxious. You're just not allowed to feel anything in the moment that is there because it upsets the apple cart. So you're not allowed to feel even happy unless it's lunchtime. It's in your own time.
Okay, this makes so much, this is kind of huge because I know that creating this type of dialogue with your child also opens up so many more doors. So one, it's going to help them feel more comfortable in their own skin, more confident over time. And it opens up the door because you as the parent help them recognize it and to feel more comfortable so that they can trust you in talking to you about their emotions and things that come up. Is that right? Isn't that kind of how this all goes?
That's absolutely right. And the parent also needs to allow their own emotional response because resistance is the biggest impediment in a relationship.
Yeah, I love this. Okay. Oh my gosh, I hate going to break, but we are going to come back and talk about that resistance right after this break, that resistance in your own bedroom and how to solve the issues that are keeping you from experiencing sexual highs. So make sure you come back right after this quick break.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and may be feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
I'm the guy with the boys kicking it back, or the guy with a guitar singing on a country track. I might be the guy with an ice cold can stirring up dust on some old farmland. When I walk into the party with you, girl, you change all that. And I'm just the guy with the girl everybody wants to know, wishing you were there alone, wondering how. But I stand right there and smile. You're right beside me. Oh, and I see the same thing I see.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking with the amazing Jackie Oliver, who knows everything sex. She is an incredible sex expert and therapist. And we just got done speaking about teens. And one thing, just real quick, even though we are going to move into talking about it, our adult relationships, I just want to hit on something that Jackie and I were talking about at break and how important it is, even if you have made mistakes, as all of us parents have, including myself, when it comes to communicating with your kids. If you start incorporating the techniques that Jackie just went over, she's saying how it will immediately start changing how your kids respond to you, and it will start building up that confidence and help prevent teen suicide. So it's important stuff. So I encourage you, if you didn't take notes during that first segment, go back and write them down so you have a dialogue that you can use with your kids and start helping them understand their lives a little bit better and to build up that confidence and have those tools to help them deal with being a teenager, because we all remember how tough and challenging that was. But right now we are getting into the adult talk. This is super, super important. So let's get here. So Jackie, let's talk about sex with adults. And, Liz, I want to start off with communication, because many of my listeners, we've been together with the same partner for a while, or maybe even not, but we don't know how to express our our feelings and to really get to the level that we want to be at with our sexual behavior in the bedroom. So give us some tips on how we might be able to talk comfortably about sex to express our issues that we're having or express what we want.
Well, this goes back to the emotional response. When you imagine how you're going to have this conversation and you play it out 100 times in your mind and you get it down pat and then you think, right, I'm ready to have this conversation. And then when you're confronted with your partner and an emotional response is triggered, you might call it anxiety, and you try not to feel that way, then you are resisting that emotional response. You've created an instant disconnect from yourself, which means you're then trying to talk over the top of that resistant emotion, and then your words don't come out the way you intended them. You may stutter, or your words may come out backwards, and it's like, oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. Oh, no. And then a further emotional response is triggered and your partner's looking at you like, what the heck? And then they get upset with you because your well-intended words actually came out somewhat insulting. And so then an emotional response is triggered in them. Then, of course, they've been trained since childhood not to allow emotion. And so now you're battling each other.
Wow. Okay. So you were in our bedroom listening to us talk. Is that what was happening here, Jackie?
Okay. This is the thing. Emotion plays out the same with every person. We all sneeze the same way. The emotional response plays out the same way. It's made up of intensely uncomfortable sensations in our body, or if we don't enable and allow that, then there are a million thoughts as to why we think we're feeling that way. And if we, for example, using your previous example of when your husband would take your car out and then not put gas in it, you would feel that trigger, that emotional trigger, like that grrr. And then what most people do is they try not to feel that way, which means they start thinking about why they're having that emotion and why that person is doing that and why aren't they listening to me? Why is it he's always doing this? I'm always trying to say that, you know, this really bugs me. But quite often the reality is that you've only said it out loud twice. For everything that we say out loud, we think about it at least 100 times before we mention it out loud. But from our perspective, we're remembering all of the times that we've thought it, and a lot of miscommunication occurs when we've only said it out loud once or twice, and then the other person's thinking, well, she's only mentioned it twice. It can't be that important.
So you're saying that the emotion, so me being angry with him for leaving my car empty a bazillion times, maybe I only said it a few times, but those emotions that I had attached to that, my frustration, my anger, may come out when I happen to bring it up. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's right. So if you don't remove the resistance by allowing the physical sensations of the emotional response, it's going to affect your communication and cause communication breakdown. So for instance, if I was saying, let's do a bit of play here. So if I'm saying to you, let me just give you an example of it. So you know when you're feeling totally annoyed about something, and then when you go to communicate it, you try to say it calmly. You're trying to say it calmly. You're trying to keep the angst out of your voice. You're trying to keep cool about it, but you're feeling that emotion triggered, and that emotion starts coming out in your voice. So your voice may start raising. Your tone may become accusatory. what's happening is that emotional response is coming out in your words. And now that emotional response, as you're speaking it, now you're remembering it, it's triggering all that emotion, that emotional state that you were in when these particular issues occur. And now you are resisting that fact because you're trying to have a clear, calm conversation. So you're resisting the fact that you're having emotion, but because you're in a state of resistance, you have lost the ability to clearly communicate. And what's being most clearly communicated is that resistance that you are feeling. And that's like an energy, that's like a wall that takes place in between you and your partner. So now you're trying to climb over the wall. Now your voice raises so that you can feel heard because you're aware of a sense of disconnect, and the other person starts responding to that resistance they feel in between both of you. And you're aware of this when you visit people. And you walk into a room and you can feel the tension between these two people. And they've just got a fake smile plastered on their face. Oh, everything's fine. And you know that it's not. And this is what we experience with ourselves as well. Resistance is palpable. It's something you can feel. And if you're wanting to communicate clearly, then you have to remove that resistance first. Otherwise, you won't be able to find the words that you had so well rehearsed. And your partner is going to respond to that emotion you're trying not to feel because they can feel it. And that's what causes that disruption, and that's what causes things to escalate to an argument, and then this person doesn't feel heard and this person doesn't feel heard, so they raise their voices because they both want to feel heard and they both want to reach that feeling point of connection, and so they're resisting, trying to talk over the top of each other, trying to feel heard, trying to resolve it so they can get back to that feeling of connection. But what usually happens is you get to that point of brrr, and then one person goes to the corner of the room, the other person goes to the other corner of the room. It's a bit like a boxing ring. One person will go away and think, oh, gosh, they'll switch to a sensation. They'll just think, oh, I just feel so sad. And they have that moment of sadness, and they allow it as a sensation in their body, and it clears with the ease of a sneeze. And they think, oh, and then they go over to their partner. Now, their partner's been on the other side of the ring, and they're thinking, oh, gosh, why is she always like this? Why is she so, oh, she's so emotional. She's being a drama queen.
Yeah, right. Just get it
together? So he's gone over, and he's thought about why she's feeling that way. He's just completely gone into analysis paralysis of the situation, and he's not feeling better. She can go over at that stage and say, hey, because she's feeling perfectly fine now. She's come back into emotional balance, but he hasn't. And it can
so be nothing solved. Part. Yeah. Nothing solved. And so it goes back to, it's so interesting that you're talking about that, because in the beginning of this, of the show, we talked about how to take yourself down from that anger, that frustration, the tools to do that. And exactly for the reasons that you're talking about, before you discuss something that really upsets you, or you want to discuss something that you want, if you're nervous, if you're angry, if you're frustrated, whatever it is, you gotta relax. You gotta change that mindset. And so in the beginning of the show, we talked about some tools to use to help you do that. And it's for this exact reason. If you want to actually be heard and received in a positive way, you have to communicate from a calm, collected, thought out, controlled way, just as Jackie's saying, to be successful. We've all experienced both sides of this. And when you are calm, you are going to be heard so much better. You're not going to get the resistance from your partner, just like you said, Jackie, where they're already feeling that anger and frustration from you. So they're coming back with that wall and the frustration back to you. So nothing's getting solved. But if you can just chill out before you have that conversation and pick your words wisely, you will be much more successful. Okay, so go ahead.
If I can just add something to that, as soon as you stop resisting the emotional response when it's triggered, so say you start feeling anxious, you switch your attention to allow the sensations of it, just like you allow a sneeze, then you don't have to look for the words. There won't be any block between what you want to communicate and what you actually communicate. So you don't have to choose your words carefully and control yourself, because as soon as you allow the physical sensations of the emotional response to pass with the ease of a sneeze, just like you allow yourself to sneeze, you immediately are able to think clearly and clearly communicate.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. So that is so important, but I want to move into some of the other things that you talk about. And you mentioned the topic of killing, how to stop killing attraction and libido. What's that all about?
That deals with emotion, and when emotion is being resisted, then that makes a person emotionally needy. It can make a male more so than a female sexually needy. So attraction requires a person to feel confident within themselves. Confidence is the biggest attraction factor, and when you're not feeling confident, then you become more needy of your partner to fulfill you as a human being. And when you're needy of them to fulfill you, they've got everything that's going on in their mind and all of the things that they're trying to deal with as part of the human condition, which I call humanitis. They've got all of their shit going on in their brain. So for you to impose your need on top of them, that can cause discomfort. It can, when a female is constantly being emotionally needy, that can make a man run for the hills no matter how much he loves her. It's just uncomfortable. Now, when there are constant arguments, then neither person is emotionally attracted, neither person is sexually attracted, and so ongoing issues then affect a libido. So if a woman isn't feeling emotionally connected with her partner, sex is the last thing that she's going to want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a man's not getting sex from his partner, well, he's just not going to feel much of an emotional connection with her. So a lack of sex on a male's part leads to a lack of emotional attraction for his partner, because he's not getting what he needs. Lack of emotional connection on the female part can lead to a lack of libido, because she's not getting that emotional fulfillment. And this is why it's so important to start fulfilling your own need for emotional connection within yourself. Because when you're doing that for yourself, that's by allowing that emotional response to pass with an ease of a sneeze. When you're doing that for yourself, you start feeling more confident. You start feeling more connected with you. You start being less needy of your partner to make you feel better. And that immediately makes you more sexually attractive to them, more emotionally attractive to them, because you're taking responsibility for who you are and how you are. And a relationship's always going to be strongest when each of you are coming together as a whole individual. That's when there's going to be less resistance in a relationship. But it's also important to be compatible as well. And that's a whole nother.
That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. Okay, but that's interesting. I just wrote a blog post regarding this. So basically, confidence is so important in your overall relationship. So if you're feeling like you need your partner to give you that reassurance that your outfit's nice or whatever it is, you got to look within yourself. Is that kind of what you're saying, that you need to be aware of it, first of all, and to do the steps that is required to help you find your own confidence?
That's right. the emotional response, it's absolutely paramount right throughout our lives. When we're blocking that, then that's when you're looking for external validation. That's when you can recognize that an emotional response has been triggered within you and you simply haven't allowed it to pass. As soon as you allow it to pass with the ease of a sneeze, that's it. You regain that sense of confidence in yourself and you can look at your outfit clearly and think, oh, is this really working for me? Actually, I don't actually feel like wearing this today. And so you go through your closet and you choose something else that feels right for you in that moment. And this is when we touched on a teen walking down the stairs in that totally skimpy outfit. If she had allowed that emotional response to pass first, she might look at her clothing and think, actually, I'll go for this instead. So by allowing that emotional response, we're naturally going to make more empowering decisions for ourselves.
Makes sense. Okay, you guys, remember, ease of the sneeze. I think that should be your tagline, really, Jackie, is ease of the sneeze. But remember that. And we are going to go into a quick commercial break and we will come back and we are going to be playing a little game with Jackie and learning some secrets about her. All right, stay tuned.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and may be feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Got a girl from the south side, got brazen.
Hey guys, welcome back. We are here with Jackie Oliver and we are talking sex. So we talked about teen sex and we talked about adult sex and the ease of a sneeze, that whole concept. And yes, we are going to be going into our game show in just a second. And it is called Truth or Truth. So we are going to be playing a little game with Jackie, and she has never experienced this game. The name of this game is called Truth or Truth. We would be calling it Truth or Dare, but we can't play Dare because we're not together. So it is played Truth or Truth. And the rules of the game are that you have to answer each question with 100% honesty and there are no passes. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. The first question, we always start off with something easy. Who would you want to make out with the most? Which celebrity would you like to make out with the most? First one is Matt Damon. Number two, Gerard Butler. Number three, Jamie Dornan, who is the actor in 50 Shades of Grey. Joe Jonas from the Jonas Brothers. Or the fifth option is Donald Trump.
Well, I know which one I don't want to. Let's go with number two.
Gerard Butler. Yeah. You know, he is so sexy, isn't he? I feel like there's just something about him that just makes him so sexy.
This is true.
Yeah, I like him. Okay. Although I love Matt Damon too, but that's okay. It's not my game. Okay. So number two, next question. What is the most attractive quality in a man? A, integrity. B, humor. C, big pec muscles. Or D, a fat wallet.
Gosh, it's tough. C's kind of up the top there, but A and B are close there too. I gotta go C.
Okay, big pec muscles. You like you like the
they're my favorite man. Part of the body.
There's nothing wrong with that. I absolutely agree. Yeah. Okay. So number three. Have you ever played the game Have You Ever?
No, I don't know. How does it go?
We used to play it when you were younger. Okay, so have you ever, A, made out with your boyfriend's friend, B, cheated on a test, or C, slipped a guy your phone number?
Have I ever? So...
And it can be more than one. You can answer all, you know, if it was all three of those, then you got to admit it, Jackie.
B and C.
Okay, so you have cheated on a test. And yes. So was that in medical school? Is that how you got through medical school? Just kidding. I'm sure it's not. What was that?
That was a grade school.
Grade school. Okay, fair enough. And you have slipped a guy your phone number, Jackie, you naughty girl. Okay, number four. What pickup line would work best on you? A, do you know what my shirt is made from? Boyfriend material. B, I was so enchanted by your beauty that I ran into the wall over there. So I'm going to need your name and number for insurance purposes. Or C, I'm not staring at your boobs. I'm staring at your heart.
Oh, they're all tacky.
You haven't had someone say that to you?
No. Oh, gosh. A is probably the least of the worst of them.
Okay. So do you know? So guys, if you're trying to pick up on Jackie, this is your best chance. Do you know what my shirt is made of? Boyfriend material. Okay.
Oh, no.
There we go. Okay. This is the last and final question. Number five. What, in your opinion, is the best invention? A, Viagra. B, Spanx. C, lip gloss. D, caller ID. Or E, internet dating.
Caller ID. Actually, what is Spanx? What is that?
Spanx? You guys don't have Spanx in New Zealand? Spanx are those, it goes under your clothes, so it holds in those parts of your body that maybe you don't want so loose and free.
Oh, those are pretty cool too.
You know, there's always called that,
yeah.
We all should have a set of Spanx no matter what. It's just kind of one of those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Right? Yeah. So, Jackie, we're going to get a little bit more personal with you and find out some things about you. So, is there a favorite book that you have? Or one that you've read recently that made an impact on your life that you want to share?
One that I've read recently is the Change series.
Tell us about it.
That's well, we're actually both co-authors for the Change series. So the Change series.
Let's do a little plug.
So the Change series is put together by Jim Britt and Jim Lutz, and it's for coaches and authors and speakers and those who are making an impact on the world, who want to share a chapter. So whether it's a chapter of their life or a chapter of the insights that they've gained from their life. And there are about 20 co-authors in each of the books. I'm in book 13. And it's just so empowering. It's a great nighttime read just before you're reading in bed. Just read a chapter and gain so many insights, just inspiration, empowerment. It's fantastic. It's absolutely great to be part of.
I agree. And I think, those books are great for anybody. I like giving them for a gift because, you can just read a chapter. So it's not very long and walk away with some great, great little tidbits in there. Okay. Next question. What is the most challenging moment that you have had and how you overcame it or what you learned from that experience?
Gosh, most challenging moment. Had so many of them, and that's where I developed my teachings. One of my most challenging moments was on the year of my 15th anniversary with my partner, Russell. I had been unable to achieve orgasm, and I read in a magazine the previous day that the reason why some women don't orgasm is because they don't allow themselves to enjoy it. I thought, oh my gosh, I've tried everything else, but I haven't tried that. We had sex that night. It was a kind of a bit of an improvement. He had had erectile dysfunction for 12 years. Our sex life kind of sucked. But we kind of felt like we had a connection that night. And I woke up the next morning and he was dead. And I was like, this was not part of the plan. And that's what set me on my track. I thought, well, gosh, there's no way I want to spend any more of my life being unable to feel fulfilled sexually as a human being. So that's what set me on my track to doing what I do now and finding relevant answers to solve sexual function problems.
And I want to let people know that Jackie and I had another interview not too long ago. If you go to MidoriVerity.com and you look up the I think it's under Kick-Ass Relationship Show now, but you'll see Jackie's other interview, and we talk about those topics, meaning erectile just sexual dysfunctions, and we really dive deep into that. So I would recommend you go listen to that, because regardless of whether it's you or your partner, it is important to be aware of it, because there are things that you can do to help your partner as well, or yourself. So I do suggest that you go back and take a listen, because it was a great interview. Okay, last question. If you were magic, what would you wish for the world?
I would wish that my real easy sex education was something that was taught in schools. So it starts with real stands for resistance. Emotion, attraction, libido. Easy means they're emotionally balanced, they're attracted and aligned, they're sexually functioning, and they understand yourself and your partner.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Jackie, that is something that needs to change in our schools and the education system, because boy, that can solve so many problems, more than just the sex part of it, but and so many emotional problems that kids go through. So thank you for all of this. This was fabulous. And Jackie, I'm sure that our listeners want to know more about you. Where can they find out more information about what you offer, or if they want to connect with you?
They can find me at endtheproblem.com. And if they want to sign up for my 5 crucial rules of sex, it's endtheproblem.com/rules. And all of my contact details are on my website.
Okay, great. And in case you didn't have a chance to write that down, you're driving, no worries. Just go to my website, midoriverity.com, find Jackie on there, and all this information will be there with the link. So you just click on it and it will take you right to her. So thank you so much once again. It was a great show. And next week, we are going to have the outrageously offensive men's divorce attorney, Mrs. Marilyn York, who has been married 4 times, and she is hilarious, outrageous, and you do not want to miss our interview. She's been on Tosh.0, and she will definitely help you see your relationship in a much different way. So check back with us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we are bringing you things to help you in your life and in your relationship. So remember to have a gratitude attitude and to tell your partner or those that you love at least one positive thing daily of what you appreciate about them, and notice how it affects your relationship and you in a positive way. Till next time, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to the Kick-Ass Relationship Show with Midori Verity. We hope you've enjoyed the show and want to share the love by passing on our web address, midoriverity.com/show, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous shows. This has been a Midori Verity International production. Join us next time on the Kick-Ass Relationship Show to add passion and fun to enjoy the most extraordinary relationship and life.